Well, I'll tell you what I am excited about tonight. You know, I have something planned. We just got, I have a small message for you tonight because we have so many different things that we are just pushing for to get done. And I'll tell you what, I know that tonight is going to be jam-packed with a bunch of different events. If any of you guys brought your Bibles, open them up to the book of Matthew. You know, traditionally speaking, the 31st of October is a night in which all rules kind of get thrown out the window as far as socially acceptable things. You know, it's an event in which you can go to, you know, you can go to a restaurant, you can go into a store, you can go into any kind of place of business, people's homes, and you'll find ghouls and goblins and ghosts and skulls and skeletons and spider webs. And, you know, if you were to see somebody put a ghost or a ghoul or a goblin or a skeleton or a skull in their front yard, you know, in the middle of July, in the middle of December, in the middle of springtime when everybody else is wearing Easter colors and somebody's sporting, you know, orange and black and they've got a skull in their front yard or they've got ghosts on their front door, you'd kind of start to think, you know, these people are a little weird. There's something going on, but there's something about the 31st of October. It's something that's become socially acceptable for us in society, of us in the United States, to come and to celebrate all of the things. Essentially, if you look at it, all of the things of which Christianity stands against. Now, we have the freedom in Christ to do what it is that we want to do, and I'm not going to speak. You might think, oh man, this is a message about Halloween and how we're not supposed to celebrate and how we're not. And as a matter of fact, it's not. I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, one thing I want to mention to you tonight is that Halloween, and it's not anything about a religious term, it's well known. Halloween is a dark day. The world celebrates darkness. If you look at it, you know, they have the full moons and you see the pictures of the werewolves. It's about darkness. Well, how many of you guys know that we as Christians are not called to be in darkness? Tonight, I want to talk to you about a subject. If I had a title for my message tonight, I would call it Light, the Cancer to Darkness. If you have your Bibles on you, go ahead and turn, like you did, to Matthew, the 5th chapter. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, here Jesus is speaking. And this is some amazing words. Let me get there in my own Bible. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse number 14. Jesus is speaking here, and he's speaking on the mount, and he's speaking to the multitudes. And you know, you might have heard of this as the Beatitudes, and you know, how we are to blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek. You know, we see that in the beginning of Matthew. But here in Matthew, chapter 5, in verse number 14, Jesus speaking says, you. He's speaking to the people he's talking to, okay? Speaking to the multitude, the crowd. Now, we can translate you in the Bible when we read it as you. When you are reading you in the Bible, you are actually reading I. Do we all get that now? So when Jesus says he's speaking to you, though he's speaking to the multitudes, it is written down. It has been preserved over centuries so that we today, in 2010, can read this word. And when we see the word you, we can translate that to I. Okay? So Jesus, in Matthew the 5th chapter, says you are a light, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus is telling us in the 21st century, today, here and now, that we, the children of God, we, the people of God, are the light of the world. Now, we celebrate on the 31st of October. Now, some of us celebrate. You know, the Rock Church, we have our Harvest Carnival, and we celebrate Jesus on that day. But, you know, the world is in darkness. The society that we live in is in darkness. Darkness is all around. You know, you can't turn on the television nowadays without seeing something about murder, without seeing something about robbery, without seeing something about rape. You know, it's clearly evident. You know, when we're speaking of shifting back to the 90s, you know, as some of us as children, some of us as teenagers watching television in 1990, you wouldn't hear any form of a cuss word on television. You might be able to call back to that. You know, you wouldn't hear anything. You wouldn't hear the A word, the B word, the S word. You wouldn't hear the F word at all. And now all of a sudden, here we are 20, 30 years later from 1990, or I'm sorry, 50, what is that? Yeah, 20 years later, I'm sorry. 20 years later, and all of a sudden something's different, right? They use certain words on television like they're just normal words. All of a sudden, what was socially acceptable 20 years ago is completely different in today's society. You know, the styles have changed. People's language have changed. You know, Pastor Joey and I were waiting for a video game. We are ultimate geeks. We were waiting in line for a video game. And, you know, working at the church, working in and out of, with God, you know, we have the greatest jobs in the world because we spend all day with God. We spend all day with people who are in God, speaking of the word and talking about God. So, you know, sometimes we go out and we're just like flabbergasted at like, whoa, really? You know, so we're ultimate geeks waiting for this popular video game to come out. And, you know, we were just like flabbergasted at what these 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds that were, you know, here we're almost 30 and we're waiting in lines with 15-year-olds. That's an issue unto itself. But we were flabbergasted at what is being said out of the mouths of the youth today. And you guys know this, growing up and coming up out of high school, coming up out of the colleges. I mean, the words that come out, I mean, I remember when I was like in high school, like the bad guys said the F word like once, maybe in the daytime. And it was just like, right? And now it's just like, that's the filler word for what everybody's saying. Because the world is in darkness. The world doesn't operate in the principles of light. The world doesn't operate in the principles of Jesus and the principles of God. They see us as something different. But let me tell you something, children, Christians, children of God is what I should say. You're like, why is Pastor Luke calling you children? Let me tell you something, children of God, people of Christ, we operate in a different society. We operate in a different realm. Jesus tells us here in Matthew that we are the light of the world. Now you might say, well, how is that, you know, what does that have to mean with me? Well, you know what that means? That means that the world is in darkness. Now how is the world going to see the light? We, the people of God, are the light of the world. We are the light in which they will see. The Bible tells us that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Guys, let me tell you something. We are that city on a hill. It is what we do with our lives. It is how we live our lives, how we believe in Christ, how we act as Christians, how we set the example when people are watching us at school, when people are watching us at work. It is what we do with our actions, with our lives, that determine whether or not the world will stay in darkness or the world will come to the light. Because let me tell you something, guys, light is a cancer to darkness. Now, I have a visual illustration of something that I want to show you. If I could, before we turn off the lights, can we turn that one off first over in the hallway? I'm going to turn off the lights. There was designated, yeah, okay, Ryan's got it. I'm going to turn off the lights. Don't everybody freak out. It's just going to be for a second. I'm going to stand here because I don't want to fall off the stage. All right, so we're going to cut the lights just for a second. Okay, we are in darkness. The world is in darkness. You can look and you can see, you know, a shadow of the person in front of you, but you can't make out the details. You couldn't tell what the person's eyes are in front of them, you know, what color their eyes are. You can't really tell because we're in darkness. But the title of tonight's message is Light is the Cancer to Darkness. Now, sitting in darkness, I have a flashlight. But when I pull this flashlight out, as soon as it comes out, we can all see it, correct? Everybody can see the light of the flashlight, correct? Why is that? Now, let me tell you something. Why is that? This is something you guys got to grab a hold of. Why is it that when you, in the dark, when the light is shined, when the light comes up, why is it that you can see it? Because where light exists, darkness cannot. Light is the cancer to darkness. Where light exists, where we, the children of God, exist, darkness cannot dwell because we have been called to another place. We have been called to another life. We have been called. Now, when the light shines, darkness cannot exist. Now, darkness may be over in the corners and darkness may be in the shadows, but darkness does not exist where this light dwells. Now, if I take this light and I turn it off, there is no light. And what happens? Darkness fills it in. But as soon as the light comes on, it's there. We can turn the lights back on now, Mike. We as Christians are the light to a dark world. We are the vessel in which the world will come out of darkness. But let me tell you guys, it is up to us. It is up to us in our schools, in our workplaces, in our daily lives, driving down the street, smiling at somebody, saying, have a good day when you leave the store. Hey, good to see you. Or hello, just waving or giving somebody a smile. Setting an example. It is up to us Christians to be the light in a dark place, to be that light in a dark world. Tonight I have three simple thoughts. They're very simple thoughts, and we've heard them over and over again. But speaking of being the light, I want to give you three thoughts in order for you to be the light. Number one, in order to be the light of the world, we have got to love. Now we say love, love, love. We preach love over and over. You say, Pastor Luke, I've been in shift, you know, for a while now. And this whole summer, I've probably heard the message of love three or four times. Guys, let me tell you something. Because we are, Jesus tells us we are called to be the light of the world. We are the city on a hill. We are the lighthouse on a foggy day. If we are to be the light of the world, yet we walk around in judgment, in discrimination, then all of a sudden, what does our world do? Like that flashlight, I took my finger and I covered my finger up the light. The light goes away. When we decide not to walk in love, when we decide to walk in discrimination, in unforgiveness, in uncompassion, in unmercy, when we live a life like that, the light gets covered up in our lives. And people look at us just like you looked at the person across from you on the table. They just see each other in the dark. Instead of us being the ones that hold the light up in front of us, we're the ones sitting in the dark. We as Christians have got to love. To love one another, to love our neighbor. Jesus says in John the 13th chapter, a new commandment I give to you, that you love each other as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. He goes on to say that by this, men will be able to tell that you are my disciples. Why is that? Because like this flashlight, by this, men will be able to tell that you are holding the light. By this, if you love one another as Jesus came and set the example, then people will see the light. And they will say, hey, I can see so clearly. But if we decide to walk in hate, we decide to walk in discrimination, we say, you know, well, so-and-so did this to me, I can't forgive them for that. Or you know what, I just don't want to live like that. I can't love somebody, I can't smile at somebody. You don't know what my day's been like, Pastor Luke. If we walk like that and we decide to live like that, we take that flashlight, we take that light, we stick it in our pocket, and it does us no good. We as Christians, guys, have got to love. Secondly, tonight, as far as thoughts, into being the light of the world, we have got to give. Now, you might say, well, Pastor Luke, now you're going to start talking about money. Guys, let me tell you something. I am not talking about money at this point. We have got to give as Christians, as people of God. You know, the same thing about this world. We were just talking about it with my grandparents. I think it's especially prevalent in the United States. We are an I generation, a my generation. You've heard preachers before say this. You know, you've got the iPod, the iPad, the iPhone, the MySpace, right? It's about me. Whoa, man. Too close to the personal space. Back it up, right? You guys remember this from the 90s. Talk to the hand, right? Arm's length. We have our space. We have our things. When we are blessed, we hold on to it. We hold on to it. But the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us over and over again that we have got to give. We have got to give unto others. Not just money. We're not speaking just of money. We're speaking of, we have got to give, how about this? We have got to give our time to somebody who needs it. We have got to give our attention to somebody who needs to talk. We have got to give our ear to somebody who just needs for somebody to listen. We have got to give of ourselves, to get out of our zones, to turn off our iPhones, to turn off our iPads, iPods. And reach out to the people around us. Because just like the light of the world, just like when Jesus says, if you have the light, well, you know what? If I have this flashlight and I'm walking down a dark path, might kill the lights. You don't have to worry about those ones, just these ones. If I'm walking down a dark path and we're all walking together and I just do this with my flashlight, what good does that do to anybody around? What good does that do? But when we take our light, and we shine it, and we let everybody see it and we give of ourselves, then those around us can see clearer. Those around us can see what God has for us. Those around us can see what God has called them to be. You can go and bring them back up, Mike. As Christians, we have got to give. We have got to extend ourselves. You know, you may recall there was a message that I preached in Genesis, the third chapter. God prophesying to Abraham. God telling Abraham, get out of your land to a place that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. God tells Abraham this. And then he follows it. Why this? So you may be a blessing. Guys, we are blessed. We are given what we are given. You know, you might say, well, Pastor Luke, I'm not blessed. You know, you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't got any money. I have a bad situation. You know, my car broke down. You know, I'm broke. I just got laid off from my job. Or, you know, I'm depressed. I'm suffering from this. Guys, let me tell you something. God has given you the ability to breathe. He's given you the ability to open your eyes. He's given you the ability to exist today for a purpose. And you have got to give of yourself. Like I said, it may not be financially. It may just be saying, you know what, man, I could tell you're having a bad day. Why don't you just tell me what's going on? Let me just listen to you. You know, let me see if I can help you. It may be just giving of ourselves for moments so that we can extend the love of Christ to other people. But before we can extend the love of Christ, we have got to give. The Bible tells us in Luke, the sixth chapter, verse number 38, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom, to your storage, to your pack, to you, to what you hold on to. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. With the same measure that you use, if you shine the light on your feet, it will be measured back to you. With the same measure that you use, give and it will be given. You give like this, someone's going to give to you like this. But when you come and you give of yourself and you shine that light so everybody can see, with the measure that you use, Jesus tells us this is a promise. It will be given back to you. Not only will it be given back to you in the order that you gave it, but he tells us it will be given back to you, shaken together, pressed down, compressed, packed in there, running over, over more, so much more than what you gave originally. But at some point, guys, we've got to get off of our seats. We've got to get off of our couches. We've got to answer the phone call. We've got to, you know, say, you know, man, buddy, you're moving. All right, I'll help you move. You know, I don't want to. Moving is horrible, especially mattresses. But I can tell that nobody else is, you know, you said nobody else is going to help. You know what? I'll do it. I'm not doing anything this Saturday. We have got to give. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to be, you know, a ground in which the world tramples over us. Of course, our own lives are just as important. But we have got to use the grace of God, to use the example of Jesus, and give to others so that we can expect that others can shine the light back on us some days when we have dark days, because you know we all have them. And if we give our light, the city on a hill, we are the lighthouse in which the world sees, and we give it out, we can rest assured that someday when we need the light, somebody will shine that light back to us, because it is a promise from God. Finally tonight, we have got to believe. In order to be a light on a hill, in order to be the light of the world, you have got to believe. Now, I want to use this example. I want to use this idea. I want you guys to think about it. Maybe some of you may not be able to relate to this, but most of you, I think, will. Thinking back to the 90s was probably the first time I went on a roller coaster. As a matter of fact, it was Montezuma's Revenge at Knott's Berry Farm, and that was the biggest thing that they ever had. Boomerang was not even a thought. Ghost Rider wasn't even mapped out. I don't think Knott's Berry Farm owned the land yet. You know, but thinking back to it, and I remember waiting in line for Montezuma's Revenge in that one loop. Oh my goodness. I'm going to go upside down, full inversion. You know, and I'm nervous. I'm waiting in line. I'm just kind of, you know, my mom's with me. Oh man, mom, I don't know. You know, the gate to the car opens up, you know, and we're getting ready to go, and mom's pulling me. Come on, you can do it. You're not going to die. And I'm, mom, no. Okay. All right. If you say so. I have that nerve. I was uneasy being inverted, having those G forces pull me to my seat was something I wasn't familiar with. We as Christians oftentimes live our lives like that. Imagine me feeling that way in line, uneasy, and then trying to convince somebody to do it too. It's going to be okay. It'll be all right. Everybody can handle this ride. You won't get sick. The roller coaster, if you guys aren't familiar with Montezuma's Revenge, I don't even know if they still have it, but it was a simple roller coaster. You went up and went in a loop and then went up to the top and then came backwards and did the loop backwards. You know, so you might say, well, the roller coaster's not going to fly off the end. I hope not. How convincing are we, right? If we're trying to bring somebody to Christ, if we're trying to witness and give the light of the world, the light that Jesus has told us, and we're doing it, oh, God loves you. I think you're going to be healed. I hope. I don't know. You're going to be blessed. If we do that unsure, if we're act like we did on that roller coaster in line, how convincing is that? Is somebody going to say, you know what, man? I'm in the darkness and I can clearly see your light. Let me grab a hold of that. Let me see what you got. Or are they going to say, you know what, man? That's kind of like, you know, you see some of the times those flashlights, they got those red LEDs. It's like they kind of give light, but they don't. You know, so it's like, well, you know what? Honestly, your light's not doing very much good. I can see my hand. I can see where I'm at. I'm fine. Thanks. Thanks very much. When we as Christians try to share the light of the world, if we don't have belief in the light that we are sharing, if we don't have belief in the God that we speak of, if we don't have belief in the Jesus and the power of what he did on that cross that day, what are we going to do when it comes to sharing the light of the world? How is the world going to see our light and want a part of that? Tonight in this place, guys, you have got to believe the power of God. You have got to believe that Jesus is on the throne. You have got to believe. Matthew in the 21st chapter, verse 21 and 22. Jesus, let me give you a little bit of background. Jesus had been walking through Jerusalem. He sees a fig tree that had no fruit on it. And he says, well, what a pointless tree this is. And so as he's teaching the disciples, he curses the tree. He comes back. They come back later in the day and they see that this tree that Jesus spoke over has withered and died in a matter of hours, in a matter of days. All of a sudden, this tree that was alive just did not have any fruit at that time. Was not bearing any fruit, was not doing the job that it was supposed to be doing. Jesus said, what point is this? Be cursed. And he cursed that tree. That tree died. The disciples were like amazed when they came back and they saw that this tree had withered, just like Jesus said. I mean, they began to believe. And Jesus, speaking to them, speaking of this tree, says, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, comma, believing, you will receive. Sometimes you think it's in NIV, it says, whatever you ask, when you believe, you will receive. We as Christians have got to believe. Jesus tells us, not only can you do what I did to this fig tree, you can have the faith to move a mountain. You may have mountains in your lives. The friends that you live with or the friends that you interact with may have mountains in their lives. Your family members may have mountains in their lives. You may have mountains in your work, in your school, in your financial situation, but you have got to believe that when you pray and you believe that God can come through, the power of God can do something in your life, let me tell you something, all the more will your light shine brighter. And then, and only then, will the world see that we have the light. We are that city on a hill and our light is shining, and will they want a part of it? Three simple thoughts tonight. You have got to love. Jesus says to love one another as he has loved us. Not in judgment, not in condemnation. It is not our job to point out the flaws of somebody around us. To love as Jesus loved us. Secondly, to give of ourselves, to give of what we can give. Not just speaking of finances, not just speaking of materialism, but speaking, give, maybe we could just give a prayer. Offer up, take 30 seconds of our day and pray for somebody else. But we have got to give up something of ours, our time, our space, and give to others. Give unto somebody to shine your light, to not just hold that light up under, like it said, under a bushel. It can't be hidden, but it's held up high. We have got to give. And finally tonight, guys, we have got to believe in the power of Christ. We have got to believe that God is a God who can come through. That God is a God who's got the power to move mountains. And through your belief, through your faith, you can do that as well. You can move the mountain. You can curse the fig tree. You can tell that situation that's not bearing fruit in your life, be cursed and out of my way. And believe that it's going to happen. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?